Well, good afternoon, everyone. There is much happening in the world today, and there is much to be concerned with nowadays. What are you afraid of? People all over the world experience some of the same fears that we have. Personally, I fear needles. Not the kind for sewing. I'm speaking of the medical profession, which is why I never pursued the career path of becoming a phlebotomist. Did I say that right? Phlebotomist. I know there are many in our congregation who deal with needles all the time. The thing for me is I can't stand to watch the insertion of a needle. My arm, or anyone else's for that matter. The fear of needles is the anticipation of their use. And some of you may be thinking, okay, you're a scaredy cat, a wimp. Okay, I'll accept that. But we are all not alike with our fears. People are afraid of a lot of things. And there are numerous lists. Somewhere, someone is afraid of something. There is, however, consistency with the short list, the A list. I have a list, the short list, what people fear most. Number one, public speaking. The fear is that all the eyes are on you. The second fear that people have is of heights. Striking as it may seem, there is no set limit for the height. You could be afraid of a 6-foot ladder, or you could be afraid of standing on the side of a cliff. It's still the same fear. Fear of the dentist. I think the fear of the dentist is fearing the pain and discomfort that the dentist provides will be forthcoming. Number four is snakes. Ever since the snake deceived Eve in the garden, snakes have gotten a bad rap. Even Indiana Jones is afraid of snakes. There is also a fear of flying, which in itself precipitated the manufacture of tiny little bottles of alcohol for those who do have a fear of flying. Spiders, people are afraid of spiders. They're afraid of anything that has twice as many limbs as they do. There's a fear of enclosed spaces, which I'm thankful I do not have. There's a fear of mice. Women seem to have a greater fear of mice than men do. But how ironic that how could anyone be afraid of the world's most beloved character, Mickey Mouse? There are also people have fear of dogs and thunder and lightning. Honorable mention would include horror movies, clowns, sharks, and yes, needles. Still, this list grows with people's fear of terrorist attacks, identity theft, economic or financial collapse, and now recently, COVID-19. We could spend more time adding to these lists, yet there was something noticeably missing on all the general lists. It is with a doubt that is on your list. So still wondering what that is? Turn with me to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll be reading in verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My intention today is to answer the question, is fear important to you? Is fear important to you? Today's title, Bigger Than Fear. In answering this question, we'll be using the formula for information gathering. The four basic W's and an H. Who, what, why, where, and how. Let's begin by asking, what? What is fear? Now, each one of us could answer this question, and some answers would be very personal. The dictionary describes it this way. Fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, or pain. Whether the threat is real or imagined, it is a feeling or condition of being afraid. It's a clinical answer, to be sure. But how would you describe fear? During my research, I found that fear is an acronym, each initial representing a word, F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. This acronym speaks to imagined fear as opposed to real fear. Let's look at imagined fear first. When we worry about something that hasn't occurred yet, we create a story. Create a story in our minds without knowing the outcome. We established imagined fear. Real fear has an acronym as well. Forget everything and run. Fear actually serves an important role in keeping us safe, as it mobilizes us to cope with potential danger. When early humans saw that bears and lions attacked fellow humans for food, the fear acronym was used. Forget everything and run. Thankfully, this is not a big concern for us here in Pittsburgh. Yet fear comes in many shades, from mild to paralyzing. Uneasiness, worry, stress, anxiety, panic. These are all conditions of fear. And conditions that we are all so familiar with. When faced with fear, any fear, what do you do? Let's turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And we'll be reading in verse 1. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. When this current pandemic settled into our lives, during our online Sabbath service, there was a reoccurring hymn that we would sing. This hymn was certainly an anchor during a storm of uncertainty. Do you remember that hymn? It was page 44. God is our refuge. Psalm 46 shows us God is our refuge and our strength. God provides the strength to fight our fear. Psalm 27. Turn back to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and we'll read in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In both these scriptures, we read about strength. God is our refuge and our strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. One of the common responses to fear is flight or fight. Flight or fight. Many of the things we fear never happen to us, and we can fight fear with the strength that God makes available to us. The second W, the first one was what is fear. The second, where. Where does that strength come from to fight fear? Turn with me to Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke 12. We'll read verse 32. This is the red letter. This is Jesus Christ's words. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do not fear. This verse personally speaks to us. We identify with the term little flock. But have you ever considered the eternal God commands you not to fear? Verse 32 begins with, do not fear. Turn with me to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. And we'll read in verse 10. Again, look at God's command. Verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And this is a promise. Each one of us most certainly acknowledges that God is with us. He is our God. We can claim that promise, that He will strengthen us. But notice verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not. This verse for me solicits a certain picture in my mind. Solicits a picture of a parent holding their child's hand as they cross the road. And the parent says, don't fear. I am with you. I will help you get across this road. Yes, each one of us can claim this promise. And there is great comfort in these scriptures. But how? How does this work for us? And earlier in Proverbs 1, verse 7, we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This revealed knowledge allows us to eradicate all the deceptive and destructive fears we encounter. We live in this world. This world is suffering. We will face troubles and fears of different degrees. What about real troubles? Fears that we have little or no control over, such as terrorist attacks, identity theft, economic collapse, and yes, even COVID-19. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. We'll begin reading in verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Great shall be the peace of your children. Now in verse 14. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near to you. Did you notice these imperative statements? These are all positive statements. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear. All parents desire great peace for their children because they are taught by the Lord. How? How are any of us taught by the Lord? I think you're familiar with that scripture. 2 Timothy 3. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3. Begin reading verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for, notice, instruction in righteousness. This is how all of us are taught by the Lord. So where do you find peace today? The world is full of conflict, and with conflict occurs fear. Where do we go to find peace for ourselves? Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. We'll begin reading in verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is a promise. And now notice verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? When we are faced with fear, how often do we boldly say, the Lord is my helper? More times than you recognize. When you are faced with fear, the normal human response is fight, flight, or freeze. You fight to conquer the source causing the fear. Flight, you run away for what is causing fear, or freeze. Fear may be paralyzing, yet this action of freezing is what? It's fight or flight on hold. So what do I mean? Fight or flight on hold. That you may get ready. Get ready for what? You get ready for the next move. And what is our next move? The next move we have been rehearsing all the time. Time and time again. When we say the Lord is my helper, what are we saying? We're petitioning through the vehicle of prayer that we are saying, Lord, help me. I have a personal story. This goes back many years. I had a young family. I was working steady. But unfortunately, my employer could not afford my health benefits, and therefore he canceled them. Now, as a father, providing for my family there was an increased amount of fear. I was frightened. And to be proactive, I started looking for another job. And as an electrician, I had many contacts. And I had the opportunity to apply for jobs at Alcoa, Westinghouse, and PPG, three major corporations in the city of Pittsburgh. And during the interview process, you often hear the words, it's not what you know, but who you know. Well, I had both. And I thought this was a lock. I knew everything. I've worked at all those facilities and actually knew some of the people who were doing the hiring. And I was in full health insurance benefits. During the interview process, there may be an occasion that I would have to work on Saturday. Well, that wasn't going to work. And unfortunately, I did not get those jobs. And I was still without health benefits for my family. Yes, I was scared. And I petitioned God for help. To make the story short, all three of those corporations, the jobs that I were interviewing for, were eliminated. And to be the bonus to this story was I received even a better job, a job with full health benefits, retirement, and I did not have to work on Saturdays. Ever. My prayer was answered, but it took a while. It took a while. And that's something that I learned and I told and I always would tell my family. He says, you put God first, He puts you first. There's something else that I learned through that process. And I ask myself the question often, and I answer that question. Is God perfect? And you know He is. Is God's timing perfect? And you know that answer as well. When we say, the Lord is my helper, we are petitioning through prayer. And saying, Lord, help me. I can't do this on my own. And I'm asking for your strength. To face these challenges of fear. To help me to hold on. Help me not to give up. Help me to wait on you. Turn with me to Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter. Jeremiah 32. Begin reading in verse 26. Jeremiah 32. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, verse 27, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We find substance in Jeremiah's words. There is nothing too hard for him. Earlier we read in Isaiah 54, In righteousness you shall be established. Another way to read this is, In righteousness you will be in a firm position. What is the Bible's definition of righteousness? Psalm 119, verse 172. And you know this one by memory. My tongue shall speak of your words, for all your commandments our righteousness. It is this righteousness, God's commandments, that we are established, that we are in a firm position. This day, the Sabbath day, we are in a firm position. It is because of our obedience, appearing before God on His commanded assembly, the Sabbath day, sometimes referred to as the test commandment. The test commandment. How so? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. This is recalling Israel's journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. We'll begin in verse 4, Exodus 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and all the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them." That I may test them? On what? Whether they will walk in my law or not. Verse 5. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Now in verse 26. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath day, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather the manna, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?" And what is the test? Whether they will walk in my laws or not. Now you and I can see from this story not to go out on the seventh day to gather the manna. We can see that. Twice the amount was provided on the sixth day. And some did not pass the test and they went out on the seventh day. But there is something very compelling here in these passages. The fact that God here announced that He would test whether the Israelites would obey His laws or not. And this is several weeks before He inscribed the Ten Commandments in stone at Mount Sinai, which is Exodus 20. This tells us what? This tells us that His divine laws already existed, and He would soon reveal them anew at Mount Sinai and write them in stone. God provided manna on every day of the week but one, the Sabbath. So far, we have answered the question, what is fear? And where does strength come from to fight fear? Let's ask who. Who is afraid of the unknown? Fear of the unknown can be hard to describe because all the feelings and thoughts around this fear are in our own head. Fear can have a big influence on how we live our lives. Overcoming our fear of the unknown, that is very personal. But this is an action of stepping out of our comfort zone and stepping into where our faith will be tested. In Hebrews 11, we read the definition of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It takes hope and evidence to overcome the fear of the unknown. that without faith, we read, it is impossible to please God. Verse 6. Faith and fear are present when faced with the unknown. I have faced both. I equate faith and fear to two trains leaving the station at the same time. And no, this is not one of those tricky math questions involving two trains. One train is fear, one train is faith. We are traveling on either one. The destination is the unknown. As it often occurs, we are faced with challenges and our faith is tested. Fear can be sometimes overwhelming. Fear can be a faith killer. And I have traveled on both of these trains. I'm riding on the faith train for a while, and then I find myself on the fear train. And then back on the faith train, and back onto the fear train. Maybe you have shared similar travel experiences. One thing is certain. If our faith stagnates, we stagnate. We stop moving forward. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Mark the ninth chapter. Mark 9. This is a passage concerning a boy who was possessed by a demon. We pick up the story in verse 21. Mark 9, verse 21. So he, Jesus, asked the boy's father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And the father of the child said, "From childhood." And often he, the demon, has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But notice, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." This is the Father speaking of Jesus Christ. And Jesus responds and says to him, and notice, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." His faith. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Help my unbelief. Faith is a process. And verses 25 through 29 shows that Jesus did cast out the demon. Verse 28. And when he, Jesus, had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" Speaking of the demon. Verse 29, so Jesus said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Prayer and fasting. These are two tools available to us to increase our faith and overcome our fear. Luke 17. We'll begin reading in verse 3. Jesus is warning his apostles about offenses. Verse 3, "Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." Verse 4. "And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Verse 5, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Why would they make this request immediately after Jesus' teaching on forgiveness? It's because forgiving others is hard, especially when they continue to repeat the same offenses. The apostles were asking for more faith to follow Jesus' instructions on forgiveness, even when it is hard to do. It can be a fearful thing to do the right thing, to follow Jesus Christ's teaching, as these examples show. We can ask for increased faith to do the right thing, even when fear is at our doorstep. Thus far, we have asked the question, what is fear? Where do we go to find strength from fear? And who is afraid of the unknown? Now, number 4. How? How does fear benefit us? Fear can create strong signals of response when we are in emergencies, such as caught in a fire or being attacked. Fear acts as an internal danger alarm. It compels you to action. It helps you make wise decisions. Without fear, you wouldn't be aware of or care about the threats around you. And we understand how fear functions in our physical lives. How does fear benefit our spiritual lives? We began today with Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Turn with me to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Begin reading in verse 10. This is a parallel scripture to Solomon's writings. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. The fear of the Lord provides knowledge, wisdom, good understanding for those who keep His commandments. The proper fear of God is an attitude of respect. It's an attitude, a response of reverence, as well as understanding. But there's also a fear of the consequences of disobedience. We all sin. We understand that there are times of temptation or trial that weaken our resolve to obey God. We sin and we earn the death penalty. Is that it? Or is a loving Father, God offers to us a healthy fear? Psalm 130. Psalm 130. We'll begin reading in verse 3. If you, Lord, should mark or take note of iniquities or sins, O Lord, who could stand? Who could stand before you? Verse 4. But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. God's offer of forgiveness to those who repent. God gives us a reason to fear, a reason to change. And with that reason to change comes a commitment to develop more of the character of Jesus Christ. The reverent fear of the Lord is designed to help us. To help us grow to become more like God in our love, and our love for Him as well as our love for our fellow man. Still, make no mistake, there's also a fear of the Lord that should be sobering for all of us. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. We'll begin reading in verse 26. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. We know the consequences. Verse 27, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. This is not sin out of weakness. This is willful sin. You know the rules, but you go ahead with breaking them anyway. To be clear, God does not want us to be afraid of Him. He wants us to have a healthy fear. A healthy fear of the Lord is to take Him seriously. Hebrews 10, verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which He was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Verse 30. For we know Him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is important to remember there are consequences for sin. The fifth and final question we'll be asking today is why? Why fear? Fear is universal. Why did God create fear? Simply, fear is a tool. It's a tool for us to use. We understand there are universal laws that govern the universe. Gravity, thermonuclear reactions, I'm speaking of the sun, and photosynthesis to generate oxygen. All these physical laws benefit our existence. We also know there are spiritual laws that benefit both our physical and spiritual lives. Consider the family. Children learn. Within the family, there are rules. Rules that govern their place within the family. Partly through fear of correction, but the rules are for their safety. Rules to train us for our own good. As the children grow older, they follow the rules because of love. It's the love for the family. God wants the same for you. He wants you to be in His family. A simple description of the rules, which are indeed laws, can be found in Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Begin reading in verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love for God and love for a fellow man." So why fear? The positive fear of the Lord taught in the Bible is a key element in change. It's an aid that we can have a humble perspective of ourselves in relationship, in our relation to our loving God. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Begin reading in verse 17. "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." We have nothing to fear as long as we are obeying the Almighty God. If we believe that God is ultimately in control, is completely powerful, that He has a perfect plan for salvation, and He has revealed that plan to you, what is there to be afraid of? Fear is a tool to be used in our relationship with our Creator. We must never lose our respect, our reverence, our appreciation for God and His plan for all of us. More than being fearful, rather motivated by God's love, to have a deep love and respect for God and His words. We now have a better understanding why David penned Psalm 111, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." This fear then yields a good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Let's conclude. Turn with me to the final scripture, Psalm 16. Psalm 16. My intention today is for us to have a better understanding of fear. We ask five questions. What, where, who, how, and why? To gain a better understanding of fear. Fear is universal. Fear is real, and fear is imagined. Either way, it can be a heavy weight that we all carry. So where do we go? And what do we do when we're faced with fear? The Creator God of all living things commands us not to fear. In his scriptures, He outlines the road to peace. In Isaiah 54, we read, "In righteousness you shall be established, for you shall not fear." We rehearsed when confronted with fear that God is our refuge. He's the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for Him. We often fear the unknown. Overcoming this fear is a personal journey. Faith is necessary to overcome fear. Faith is something we must ask for and more of, as the Scripture shows us how. Let our faith be bigger than fear. This fear teaches us a proper fear, respect, and reverence towards our Creator. This is a healthy fear that leads us to change our lives, that we show our love for God, our God who forgives us. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. This path is our life's journey. This is the path we've been called to. Continue. In your presence is fullness of joy. The definition for joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good. Something that is exceptionally good. Joy is the opposite direction of fear. Continue. The Scripture reads, in your presence is fullness of joy. Joy is caused by something exceptionally good. Now the last part of verse 11. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I like that word. Pleasures forevermore. Ever since our calling, being led by God's Spirit, we continually are shown the path of life. That path is illuminated by the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures. This path leads us to God's right hand, where there are pleasures forevermore. This is a reference to eternal life. Eternal life in God's kingdom. Until then, we are comforted by Jesus Christ's own words. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom.